Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everybody. Two big stories about food and our health in the news today. The first seems to be a big success story, a major study indicating that young childhood obesity rates have plummeted 43% in the last decade. The other story, the first major revision of our food nutrition labels in 24 years. First Lady Michelle Obama will officially unveil them tomorrow. The Brian Lehrer Show's First Lady of Nutrition and Politics is here to talk about these developments, Marion Nessel, professor of nutrition and public health at NYU, author of books including Why Calories Count, From Science to Politics, and Safe Food, The Politics of Food Safety. Hi, Marion. Welcome back to WNYC.
Oh, glad to be here.
So the childhood obesity rate plunge is really a toddler obesity rate plunge. It's among children 3 to 5 years old in what the New York Times calls the gold standard of federal studies. What are we looking at here?
Well, we're looking at the data from the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, which is about as good as this kind of information gets. And the study, which is reported in JAMA yesterday, shows that there's no overall change in obesity prevalence among most groups in the United States. That's actually good news. The rise in prevalence has stopped, and it's leveled off for the past decade. Huh. And when the investigators started looking at subgroups within the population, they discovered that children aged 2 to 5 have experienced a big drop in obesity.
And is this because parents are changing their behaviors after decades of harassment from people like you and me and Michael Bloomberg and Michelle Obama?
I hope so. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It would.
I mean, this is really good news.
That people can change, that people can make individual decisions in the light of, in the face of relentless corporate pressure to eat unhealthily and feed your children unhealthily.
Right. And now we want to see if this translates into a lower prevalence rates as these kids get older.
When you say prevalence, you mean not just of obesity, but of disease? Because I'm curious, you know, obesity itself, well, it doesn't look very good. But the real problem is when you get diabetes,
right,
or some other, you know, underlying factors
obesity
for heart disease or things like that.
Yeah, we can argue about whether obesity is a disease, but it's certainly a risk factor for very well-known diseases and very serious diseases. Type 2 diabetes is no joke.
Absolutely. And have you seen if there are socioeconomic breakdowns in the study? Because it's been a bigger problem among lower-income kids, right?
Yeah, the study didn't break that out.
And we could overreact to this good news because Cynthia Ogden from the Centers for Disease Control, the lead researcher on the report, cautioned in the New York Times today that these very young children make up a tiny fraction of the
right.
American population. As you were saying before, even though the rate of increase seems to have slowed to zero, the figures for the broader society and obesity had remained flat, and in fact they have increased still for women over 60. So we have a third of adults obese, 17% of youths obese, according to this survey. So how else would you put the findings in context?
Well, I think the big news in it is that the overall rates have not increased except for women over the age of 60. I don't know how to explain that. There's some statistical issues that are discussed in the paper that make you wonder whether this is going to hold out over time. But the data for the 2 to 5 year olds are consistent with studies that were done in the last few years. So it looks like this trend is continuing, and it's in the right direction.
And they did it without banning 32-ounce sodas.
Well, I don't know. Maybe those are being banned at home. Who knows?
Maybe. Well, much to the delight of the beverage industry and their pawns in Albany, it's not a matter
yes.
of public policy, but that's really a topic for another day. So story number two, big change is about to be unveiled by Michelle Obama tomorrow to the nutrition facts labels on the packaged foods we buy. These changes are not released yet, but I see you're quoted on Politico saying the number one priority for you and many advocates is to see if they create a category called added sugars. Why is that important?
Well, it's what everybody is worrying about these days, and nobody worries about the amount of sugar in carrots or fruits. Or even in raisins, those are not big issues in people's diets. What really are big issues is the amount of sugar that's dumped into processed foods. And there's no way to distinguish between them. And so advocates like people at the Center for Science and the Public Interest have been pushing for years to have added sugars on food labels. The FDA has resisted that for a lot of reasons. The food industry is hugely opposed to it because they would have to reveal how much sugar they're adding, and they absolutely do not want to do that. So I'm keeping fingers crossed that that's going to be one of the things on the label.
Listeners, we have time for maybe one or two quick phone calls on either of these things. The decline in the obesity rate, precipitous. Good news, 43% over the last decade, less obesity among 2 to 5 year olds, according to the major federal study, and these new nutrition labels that will be unveiled officially tomorrow, 212-433-WNYC. If you have a question for Marian Nestle, 212-433-9692. But let me go back for a minute on the added sugars to what you started to say about carrots and raisins and stuff, because the industry says – and, of course, it's the industry in their interest to say this, but that what's really important is already there on the labels, and that's total sugars. So let me linger on this for a second, because I think there's some, you know, public health debate about this too. Does it really matter to our health if a serving of orange juice, which is naturally sweet, has X grams of sugar, or if a product has the same amount but it's added? Aren't we doing as much sugary damage either way if it's the same number of grams of sugar?
Yeah, but people aren't eating enormous amounts of natural sugars. They're eating enormous amounts of added sugars. And while there may be no difference in the body, there's plenty of difference in the way the products are made. And this will have, I think, if it comes out. I mean, we don't even know what this label is going to look like yet. They are really sitting tight on it and not letting anybody see it in advance. I don't know when they're going to send it around.
Right.
I'm
dying. Well, that's why I'm raising this issue publicly of what you and other advocates say is the number one thing. You're dying to see whether they actually do.
Yeah, I mean, if they do, that'll be really a big step forward, and the food industry will have to cope with it. They will argue that there's no analytical difference between natural and added sugars, but they absolutely know how much sugar they're putting into their products, and I'd like to know that, too.
Bert in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Bert.
Hello, how are you?
Okay.
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Basically, if you see on a label, and I'm looking at one right now, there's a giant, in giant type, it says nutrition facts. And then in smaller type, if you go down the entire label, there's not one piece of nutrition in there. Why does that label allow it to say nutrition facts?
I think everything on the label is nutrition. Calories are about nutrition. Trans fats are about nutrition. What is missing from it that you would like to see there?
No, I'd like them not to be able to have nutrition in 24-point type and sodium in 2-point type.
Ah, you want a design change. So do I.
Huh.
That's another one of my fingers crossed.
What do you want? What kind of design
for
change,
what they're going
Maria?
To do. Well, you know, when they did the original design in 1993, the FDA had tested a bunch of different designs, and nobody could understand any of them. And so they picked the design that was least poorly understood, the least worst design. I think we need to do better than that. So I'm hoping that the FDA sent it around to some design experts and got something that people might actually be able to understand.
Yeah, of course. I hear his point. As having another implication too, which is that we say it's a nutrition label, which might indicate the actual elements with nutritive value that, you know, are we getting vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin C? Are we getting protein? Instead, I think the way consumers have come to use these labels is as warnings. Oh, how much of this bad thing is on it? Should we avoid this? So it's a list of horrors rather than a list of positives that we would call nutrition. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, yes and no. But one of the big problems in American diets is that people are eating too much of the wrong kind of thing. And the nutrition label is meant to try to help people make food choices that will help them prevent chronic disease.
Hector in Union City. You're on WNYC. Good morning, Hector.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Always love when I get called. I'm able to speak. Anyways, I read about the study yesterday, and I'm concerned that maybe some information has been overlooked, and that's mainly the fact of the economy being where it is. And
you're talking about fewer obese toddlers?
Yeah, that's correct. And there being less purchasing power on the parent side. So while the economy has been slumping and people don't have as much capital to spend on food, so they're maybe taking shortcuts and not buying, you know, the extra sodas or the extra corn chips or the items that really, you know, kids love but lead to obesity.
That may be. That very well may be, except that those foods tend to be cheaper than the healthier ones. So I'm not sure how that plays out, as I said.
But we also hear the opposite, right, which is that for families who are struggling financially, the cheapest foods are usually the unhealthiest foods, and so the obesity rates go up as a function of poverty.
I thought that was what I just said. But
yeah.
I don't see evidence that young children are thinner because they're starving. I don't think that's what it's about. The prevalence of obesity is still much higher now than it was 20 or 30 years ago. But I think the economic issues are incredibly important in all of this. And what we really want is a food system that will make healthy foods the easy choice and hopefully the less expensive choice. That would be terrific.
Your most recent book is Why Calories Count, Food Science and Politics. And I see another big thing people are anticipating with the release of this new label design tomorrow is whether total calories per serving will be displayed more prominently and if the number of servings per package will be calculated more accurately.
Yeah, those are on my wish list.
Last thing. The current labels date back to the early 90s, as you said. Is there evidence that they have made a difference and that this whole debate actually matters to public health?
Well, people use them. How people use them is highly debatable, but there's no question that people use them. And one of the issues is that they haven't made as much of a difference to public health as people would like them to, and that's why they need to be changed.
The two big stories about food and our health in the news today. The major study indicating that toddler obesity rates have plummeted 43% in the last decade, and the first major revision of our food nutrition labels in more than 20 years to be unveiled by First Lady Michelle Obama. Let's move, Michelle Obama. Tomorrow, our First Lady of Nutrition and Politics here on The Brian Lehrer Show has been our guest, Marion Nessel, Professor of Nutrition and Public Health at NYU, and the author of books including Why Calories Count and Safe Food, The Politics of Food Safety. Thank you so much, Marion.
As always, a pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, General Stanley McChrystal, the former top commander in Afghanistan. He calls for a new draft in an interview I recorded with him yesterday. We will air it next.